Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown, where we dive deep into quarterly results to help you understand what's really happening in the market. I'm Alex.
And I'm Jordan. Before we dig in, this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Today, we're breaking down Zoetis' first quarter 2026 earnings. And wow, this was a quarter that really caught investors off guard. Jordan, what's your first take on these numbers?
Alex, this was definitely a reality check for the animal health giant. On the surface, flat organic operational revenue growth doesn't look terrible, but when you peel back the layers, there's a lot more going on here. They had about $100 million in sales that shifted from fourth quarter 2025 into first quarter due to fiscal year alignment changes. Without that boost, they would have seen a 5% organic operational decline.
That's a significant difference. And CEO Kristin Peck was pretty candid about what went wrong, wasn't she?
Absolutely. She laid out four key factors that created what she called a convergence of interconnected dynamics. First, rising prices at veterinary clinics led to lower clinic traffic. Pet owners are feeling the pinch. Second, those same pet owners are showing increased price sensitivity, especially for premium products where Zoetis leads. Third, competition intensified across key categories like dermatology and parasiticides, with competitors using aggressive pricing. And fourth, this is crucial. These competitive launches didn't expand the overall market like they have historically.
That last point seems really important. Historically, when new competitors entered Zoetis markets, the pie got bigger for everyone, but not this time.
Exactly. In the past, competition actually helped grow markets. Think about how the parasiticide market expanded when new players came in. But this time, with pet owners being more price conscious and visiting clinics less frequently, new entrants are just taking share from existing players rather than bringing new customers into the market.
Let's talk specific numbers. How did their key franchises perform?
The companion animal business really struggled, particularly in the U.S. where it declined 11%. Their key dermatology franchise, which includes blockbusters like Apoquel and Cytopoint, fell 11% globally to $347 million. The Simparica parasiticide franchise was down 1% to $385 million globally, but that masks an 8% decline in the U.S., and their OA pain products, Librela and Solensia, dropped 8% combined to $140 million.
But it wasn't all bad news, right? I noticed livestock performed well.
That's the silver lining here. Livestock delivered 12% organic operational growth to $720 million, with broad-based strength across cattle, poultry, and swine. Favorable producer economics and strong protein demand are driving investment in herd health. It really shows the value of Zoetis' diversified portfolio. When companion animal struggles, livestock can pick up some slack.
What about guidance? I imagine they had to adjust expectations.
They definitely had to recalibrate. Full-year revenue growth guidance came down to 2-5% from what was presumably higher expectations. And adjusted net income growth is now expected at 2-6%. CFO Wetteny Joseph noted that while the fiscal year alignment was supposed to provide a 200-250 basis point tailwind, the challenging operating environment more than offset that benefit.
During the Q&A, there were some pointed questions about whether this represents a fundamental shift in the animal health market. How did management respond?
Kristin Peck pushed back on the idea that this is a permanent change. She emphasized that demand for veterinary care remains structurally strong due to the human-animal bond. She pointed to continued strength in urgent care and diagnostics as evidence that pet owners still want care. They're just being more selective about spending. She also noted they're seeing some stabilization in key areas like their OA pain franchise and gaining back share in parasiticides.
What's their plan to turn things around?
They outlined a multi-pronged strategy. First, they're sharpening commercial execution, focusing on integrated solutions for veterinarians and targeting direct-to-consumer activity for pet owners with affordability options. Second, They're accelerating their science to scale model to get new products to market faster. Third, they announced the acquisition of Neogen's animal genomics business to expand into livestock genetics. And finally, they launched comprehensive cost and productivity programs.
Speaking of new products, what's in their pipeline?
This is where it gets interesting long term. They have 12 potential blockbusters in development, with more than $7 billion in additional market opportunity. They're expanding into entirely new categories like renal, oncology, and cardiology. But here's the catch. Most of these won't hit the market until late 2027 into 2028. So they need to navigate this challenging period with their existing portfolio while waiting for the next innovation wave.
One thing that stood out to me was the mention of generic competition hitting some of their older blockbusters like Convenia and Serenia. Is this a new trend?
It's notable, but Peck was clear that they don't expect generic competition in their major innovative categories like dermatology, pain, or parasiticides in the near term. Convenia and Serenia are older products that have lost patent protection. The current competitive pressure they're facing is from branded competitors, not generics, which is an important distinction.
What should investors be watching going forward?
Several key metrics. First, watch for signs of market stabilization. Are clinic visits recovering? Is the competitive pricing pressure easing? Second, monitor their share trends in key franchises, especially Simparica and dermatology products. Third, keep an eye on their cost-cutting efforts and whether they can maintain margin expansion despite top-line pressure. And finally, track their pipeline progress as they approach those late 2027 launches.
Any final thoughts on valuation or investment thesis here?
This quarter definitely challenges the resilience narrative around animal health. The stock has been a consistent performer based on the idea that pet spending is recession resistant, but we're seeing that's not entirely true when you combine macro pressure with increased competition. That said, Zoetis still has market-leading positions, a strong pipeline, and a diversified portfolio. The question is whether this is a cyclical challenge or something more structural.
It sounds like the next few quarters will be crucial for determining which scenario we're in.
Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. We'll be back with more AI-powered earnings analysis to help you navigate the markets. Until next time, keep those portfolios diversified and those expectations realistic.
See you next time.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.